Extra, extra, read all about it. It's Reviews from the Clubhouse. We are your hosts, Chance McDuffie. And,
are you talking to me?
Oh, what?
Are you talking to me?
This is good.
That's all I remember.
Oh, yeah.
I'm Robert De Niro.
I was thinking of what to say back, hey, but he's in that scene by himself. Yeah.
I'm doing the face. I guess it doesn't really work because we don't have a video format yet, but.
Yeah, well.
That's my face. Good.
He squints a lot. You talking to me?
I can't see what I look like. Yeah, but
you must be talking to me. Anyway.
These people outside must think we're jackasses.
Oh, as always, brought to you by Clubhouse Films.
You said that, right?
No, I don't think I did. Well, if I did, I said it twice.
It's a loosey-goosey episode, as they all are. There's a term you don't hear much anymore, loosey-goosey. That's another old term. Don't fly the coop.
That's the way the cookie crumbles. People still say that?
No, I don't think anyone ever said that.
What? You never heard that before?
I've heard that in Bruce Almighty.
That's what I was about to say.
Okay, where I think. All right, let's roll the intro.
I'll be killing y'all. Yeah. Just play the theme song.
Yeah.
Mmm. That never gets old.
It's a sick beat.
Yeah, man. Did you produce that yourself?
Nope. Mm. A nice gentleman by the name of Omar did.
Mm. Omar.
Found him on a website.
If you're listening, which I know you're not, excuse me.
Hey, we have to scrap the entire episode now and start again.
I don't even remember what I'm saying.
I think he's in Europe or something, so yeah, I doubt he's
Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, man. Good job.
But if you do listen, make sure you like and share and comment.
Yes, so that people in Europe can start
doing the same. Okay. And don't forget to check us out on social media.
Yeah. Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Reviews in the Clubhouse.
Is Facebook dying? Is MySpace coming back at all?
I don't know, man.
It's really dating us.
The only reason, and listen, if you're listening to this and you do some of the things that I'm about to talk about, you're not a bad person. It's just
we just hate you.
I just don't understand it.
Okay.
No, the only reason I'm on Facebook is to like
network.
Tell people. I mean, not even just to tell people. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm watching this, and then that usually leads into the show, though, kind of most of the time. Mm-hmm. Well, no, yeah, it does because I talk about it on watch list regardless, and to share memes. Like, okay. That's mainly what I use Facebook for.
Yeah,
and to see shit about my family.
The funniest thing is like, yeah, you do that on Facebook. I'm also on Facebook. I usually primarily just use Facebook to network, and I'm in a bunch of Facebook groups, like filmmaking ones. And then you share the memes, but then you send them to me
because you know I don't. I need you to see it before you see it on Facebook.
I
need you to laugh
with
me right then. But no, like there are some people that just like they use it to vent and just talk about like
that is true.
Family and friends and work, like stuff that probably shouldn't put on the internet for everybody to see that'll be there forever.
I was gonna say just start a blog, but that's still on the internet. Start a diary.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, hey, if that makes you feel better, like venting to the world. That sounds sarcastic, but
with all sincerity.
But yes. I don't know. It's just like I'll read stuff. I'm like, why are you telling people your business like this?
Yeah, I'm
like,
a pretty
private
person.
People could just screenshot this and just do whatever with it.
Yeah. I've got a few friends who have like left Facebook because they think it's the worst thing in the entire world. And I'm not here to say that it is or isn't.
Twitter is a fucking wasteland. I love Twitter.
In what sense?
It's just wild, man. Like,
see, I'm not.
It's the Wild West. You never know what you're going to see.
I don't have a lot of social media presence.
You can be scrolling in. Boom, titties. I don't know.
Titties? Yeah. Really?
No, titties.
Titties.
T-I-D-D-I-E-S.
D-I-D. What's the difference?
The D. It gives it, the double D actually gives it a little bit more gravitas, if you ask me.
The double D. I'm still laughing at that.
All right, so not a normal show. I'm not going to do the news because fuck it, that's why.
Because Chance Hurd is back.
No,
yes,
no.
Yes, tell the people your story, Chance.
No, because the person who I was helping listens to this and we didn't tell her. So we. I don't want her to feel bad. So don't worry about it. It's all Gucci.
Well, it's already out there now. So.
Nah, not for me. You don't even know what happened.
Well.
Nope. So... They were talking about Martin Scorsese's masterpiece, Taxi Driver.
Ooh, why'd you say that with a question?
I don't know, because it's such a renowned film, and I'm not saying it shouldn't be, but some people hold it like
As the highest film of cinema of all time, yeah.
Yeah, like, yeah. Like, one of those Titanics. Like, you gotta see Taxi Driver.
I mean, I definitely think it was groundbreaking for its time.
For its time, yeah. For sure, yeah.
And it still is good, but, yeah, we'll get into how it's aged over the years.
Yeah.
But what's... Came out if in, only they had a description of it.
Came out in 1978.
Oh.
I do believe. I didn't write it down. I think it was 78.
76, but I don't know.
Right, yeah. You're probably right.
I don't know.
I doubt it. Written by Paul Schrader, directed by Martin Scorsese.
What's your first name?
Enraged by New York's moral rot and urban decay and unhinged... Why are you laughing? I'm in the middle of doing my thing, man. I don't laugh in the middle of your fucking things.
No, I'm sorry. I was thinking about the whispering Martin Scorsese. I almost spit my drink out everywhere.
Unhinged cab driver.
There's a baby in this baby born.
He's what?
Oh my God. It's time. Quick segment of what's out that window.
What's out that window?
There's a baby in a baby Bjorn. And you know what a baby Bjorn is?
No, I'm not.
It's that little carrier that's in the front of you. So like your baby is always pressed up against you, looking at your face, kind of. Cutest little baby in a pink little onesie.
That's how I would carry my offspring.
That's how you would? Okay.
Like a kangaroo, except on my chest.
I would rock a baby Bjorn. Anyways, go on.
Where was I? Sorry. Let me try to read this same sentence again. An unhinged cab driver goes mad, plotting an assassination. And saving a teen sex worker. Robert De Niro. No, you're like, what movie are we talking about?
I just thought it would be longer.
Robert De Niro. No, like, the fucking IMDb description was super long. Oh, I said, fuck that. And I just used the Netflix description. Robert De Niro, Jodie Foster, Sybil, what's her name? Shepherd.
Sybil?
What did I say?
Sybil Shepherd.
Sybil?
Sybil.
Excuse me.
Sybil, but it's Sybil.
Tomato, tomato. Right and wrong, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Albert Brooks and... That's just to name a few.
Albert Brooks, I don't know.
He's really the guy who works with... what's her name, Beth?
Jodie Foster's character.
No, the...
the political...
Yeah, the dude with the fro.
Yeah.
Okay. No, he's Marlin in Finding Nemo. He's the voice of Marlin. Nemo's dad.
I do know him then.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
He's in Drive. You ever seen that movie?
Yeah. Great film.
This movie had a budget of about $1.3 million and made about $28.4 million, which is pretty good.
That's insane.
Yeah, especially for a movie like this.
In the 70s? Yeah, for sure.
Well, I mean, I guess not really, because this is around the time where these kind of movies really started to boom, you know what I mean? Like movies that kind of dove into people's psyche and Hollywood started to kind of... metamorphosis.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Anyway.
It stopped being this like over.
Yeah, I can just show up and just literally give you my lines at face value and it would be perfectly fine. As long as I'm in a suit with a briefcase and my hair is slicked back real nice.
Yeah.
And
Frank
I talk
Sinatra.
Just like this. Yeah. I'm gonna win that year. Can you believe it, Logan?
What's that?
I don't know. I was still in character. Anyway.
I don't know what we're talking about.
Yeah. This is my first note. This movie has a lot of parallels to Joker. And I knew this going in. I knew that one film was influenced by the other.
Well, Joker has a lot of parallels to Taxi Driver.
What did I say?
You said the other way.
Oh, well, yes.
I know what you're saying because you saw Joker first. But
I found it very distracting. Like, and it kind of made Joker less of a... I don't know. Even though there's still parallels, Joker's still a different movie because it dives more so into his mental state than this movie does.
Todd Howard. Is that right?
Todd Phillips.
Todd Phillips. Yeah, I was thinking Ron Howard.
Tim Hawks.
Tim Hawks.
That was
callback.
Anyway.
No, I mean, like, Todd Phillips, he wanted to make Joker... like Taxi Driver. I mean, Martin Scorsese was a producer on it.
That
credited.
Much like Taxi Driver, though.
He
like,
loves
literally,
it, yeah.
When.
It's his homage to it.
When De Niro, full spoilers, by the way, for a movie that's incredibly old,
60 years old.
When he comes into the taxi place to get a job, it reminded me so much of when Arthur, like the Joker, he goes into work and he's talking about how. He got beat up and he lost the sign and blah, blah, blah. I don't know. It was almost shot for shot the same. Like, dude sitting at a desk and standing there looking at him. just small stuff like that. And I don't know, him wanting to get a gun and being so, well, Arthur wasn't really eager to get a gun, but it kind of just
fell into his lap.
Yeah. But I don't know. I just wanted to get that out of the way up front. It took me a while to like sit back and watch this movie differently than I watched, like, cause they're not the same movie. It just, it's very similar and it feels the same sometimes. So I was just like,
Yeah, of course.
I was like, let me get my mind off.
I mean, Taxi Driver is a great film. Mm. I mean, it was, you know, critically acclaimed when it came out. I think it's one of Scorsese's first films, like first major films that he did, and really made him a huge success. I mean, it's acted really well. Robert De Niro, I mean, he's great. You could really see.
He's talking to me. He improv'd
that. He improv'd that, right? Yeah, which is insane. You can really see why he's consistently worked for the with past, Scorsese. You know, 50 years with Scorsese as an actor. And just, has he ever won an Oscar?
Yeah, he won for Raging Bull.
Okay, the boxing film.
Mm, I think that's the only one he has, though. He was nominated for this. Oh, no. He won for The Godfather 2.
That makes sense, yeah.
It was either one or two.
I think he was only in the second one.
Because he's like the younger...
yeah.
What's his name, Rick?
Fredo? No.
Carleone? Whatever. Yeah. I've never seen The Godfather.
Don Carleone.
I've never seen... Scarface. Never seen Casino.
I could not... Casino.
It's the one with... Joe Pesci. It's another Scorsese
film. I haven't seen that one either.
Joe Pesci. When he's like, what the fuck is so funny? And he gets mad at Ray Liotta. He's like, are you laughing at me? Tell me, what the fuck is so funny? Anyway, that was improv too.
Is that Casino? I thought that was Goodfellas.
Yeah, you're right. I am thinking of Goodfellas. Sorry. I'm getting my movies all kinds of mixed up.
He makes the same
films. Yeah, they're all kind of the same. They're just all gangster mobster, fucking yeah. Italians. I don't know
that they're not good.
Yeah, no. They're of course good. Not.
Yeah, I mean, anyways, Scorsese's great. Robert De Niro's great. Jodie Foster, one of her first films.
She's actually 12.
Yes, I know. Yeah, it's a little hard to watch.
That's why I looked, like when I was watching it, they said she was 12. Mm-hmm. And then when she's sitting there, when they're having, what is it, pie or whatever it is, when he gets her food.
At the diner.
I was sitting there and I was like, how old was Jodie Foster?
Yeah, she really was.
And I was like 12 and I was like, okay. And I don't know. And that's another thing I want to talk about. Okay, so.
Lean into it.
So, all right.
That's so good, Diet Coke.
Well,
not a sponsor.
Brought to you by
Diet Coke,
the people who make Coke. Oh, I'm sorry. lack of sleep can really scramble your brain like that. And he was also a war vet. But all that being said,
he's a psychopath.
He's a fuck. I wrote. He's a very weird guy.
Yeah.
Her name was Beth. So. I wrote, why would he take Beth to a movie like that on their first date? Outside of their little exchange in her office and then them having coffee, they don't know each other at all.
Because what, he took her to like a porno, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like an exploitation film.
Which was very common back in the 70s.
For a first date?
Not for a first date, but just like shown in theaters. In general. Like it was normal culture for a lot of people just to go in there and sit.
Ugh.
Disgusting.
Oh my
absolutely
God.
Gross. But think about it. They didn't have porn aside from magazines.
They have VHSs? Yeah, they had
no,
VHSs. In the 70s?
No.
I guess that. Well, no.
They had the little tapes. Oh God. Look, we're not that old.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, they had the tape that would go
We were alive when DVDs were
kind of booming. Yeah.
Did you know that the only reason that the industry went towards DVDs and not staying with the VHSs is because the porn industry decided to go to DVD, and porn makes 3 times as much as Hollywood. So Hollywood's like, all right, we're making DVDs now. And then,
interesting.
Bada bing, bada boom.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sorry.
Yeah. He's a psychopath.
Yeah. I don't really care about his character at all. Like at the end, he saves her life.
Mm-hmm.
Like I didn't feel any sympathy towards him or anything like that. I never felt like
why did he get so entranced with a 12-year-old?
I never felt like, okay, so like they paint him to be this hero. Like he saves her at the end, but he obviously just wanted to kill motherfuckers. Like he just obviously wanted to shoot somebody and kill somebody.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, he did a good thing in saving this girl, but he just needed an excuse.
He went about
to just
the
smoke
wrong
some
way.
People. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Like he shot, I don't know. And I'm just like, is he a hero? Like, I get that the movie tries to paint. Well, do they try to paint? Yeah. Well, no. Yeah, they say he's a hero.
He's an anti-hero, if anything.
Yeah, sure.
I mean, you know, does good while doing bad.
He's very, very, I don't know. He's very unhinged. Like, he tried to kill, what's the dude's name? Palantine? The dude that was running for,
That doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
just because of his political affiliation.
And then I couldn't help but think about, like, he idolized, like, was talking about how that guy was cleaning up the city and he's gonna, oh, that was another thing. So in Joker, they're talking about all the fucking trash and like how bad the city was full of trash. I'm like, oh, the city's full of trash too. I'm like, you guys are talking about the same thing. It's basically the same movie. But anyway, and it just reminded me of like how Joker just looked at Murray, Robert De Niro's character, how he idolized him and kind of put him on this pedestal and out of nowhere he just wants to kill him. In this movie, it happened a little bit more abruptly to me because I don't understand why he wanted to kill him so bad.
I don't really get it either. I guess just because the girl that he liked worked for that office, right? And I don't know. I think he's definitely, I don't want to say he's developmentally challenged, maybe. I don't know. There's some wires that just don't connect. And he wants to be this hero, but he's just not, he's just going about it all the wrong ways.
Yeah, and he's not sleeping, and he's very manic, and he's just kind of like all over the place. And although the performance was great of this character, I'm like, am I supposed to feel sorry for him? Like, am I supposed to be like, oh, he needs help?
I don't know. I guess we'd have to like look at the writing of it and the directing of it, like, which both are very good, but like what's the point? Like, what are they trying to make you feel? Like, are they trying to make you feel bad for this character, good for this character? Are they just trying to display how mental health
that's
affects
kind of
a person?
Just what I think.
And if it is, then yeah, they did it really well. They hit the nail on the head because it's perfect. Like, you see the cycle this guy goes through of just self destruction almost, and it's not very good.
Yeah, I have here Jodie Foster's character Iris. Yeah, I don't know, man. I get the whole damsel in distress, but why does it have to be a
12-year-old
sex worker?
I guess because that's, I don't want to say because it's realistic. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I'm sure there is
in New York. I mean, I don't know,
or there was maybe. I don't know. I hope not.
Yeah, it just was just a little strange to me. Just like how Leon the Professional, like how that's kind of like,
see, I've never seen that one.
That's kind of like it. Yeah, it's but anyway, like, they don't cross any lines, but they get pretty close to
they
some
get
lines,
really close.
Yeah, and I'm like, all right, well,
there's a whole, when he and see, this is what I don't understand. If he wants to save her, the whole interaction the first time he like meets her is totally weird, because he goes to meet her and they're in her little bedroom. And she's like, "Well, come on, don't you want to be with me?" And he's like, "No, I don't want to be with you. What are you talking about? I'm here to like take you away." And then he lets her start undressing him, and then he pushes her off, which just doesn't make any sense. I think his brain is broken.
Well, yeah. Well, no sleep will do that to you.
Right. But also, I don't know if you knew this, but it was very well known at the time. Have you ever heard the name John Hinckley Jr.?
No, sorry, I whispered that.
Psychopath. This guy is the guy who attempted to kill Ronald Reagan.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
And he was obsessed with Jodie Foster in Taxi
Driver.
Yes,
I do remember that. I do remember that. I didn't know it was Taxi Driver.
Yeah, he saw her in, I don't remember the whole story of,
I do know this story, though, yeah.
Why he got obsessed with her.
Did he kill a Secret Service man? I know he shot one of them.
I think he shot one, and I think the guy died.
He took a bullet.
Yes, he did. He jumped right in front of him. Yeah.
Anyway,
and that's what you do. But yeah, the crazy little things that go on. It's like again, another like parallel to The Dark Knight, kind of.
Yeah, we were just talking about this today.
I mean,
because I was watching this movie, and yeah,
people do crazy fucking
shit.
We're
talking about that guy that shot up the theater during that, and it's that was another thing. That's what I was saying. Like, he just needed an excuse. Like, when people say that violence or like music influences people and children to do terrible things.
I don't think that's true.
No, that's bullshit. That person just needed an excuse to go and do that. And they can fall back on, oh, the Joker told me to do it. Or, oh, Jodie Foster told me to do it. My dog told me to do it.
Yeah, Son of Sam. See, now that's like kind of, that's an interesting subject. Because it's like, do you believe that people are born and then they're formed? Or do you think that they're born already bad? Like, do you think Hitler was already Hitler when he was born?
No. Just from, don't get me wrong, I'm no fucking sociologist or psychiatrist by any means, but like just from hearing about my wife and like her profession and how she and some of the patients she has and how they go about managing them, it really shows that, like, there's this famous line by the Joker that, like, all it takes is one bad day for you to become me. I think he was talking to Batman. But, like, people, I mean, like, yeah, it's not, it is one bad day, but it's not. Like, there's a series of events and trauma and conflicts that can happen up to someone's, in someone's life, and then eventually it will be like the straw that broke the camel's back, and it'll seem like they snapped out of nowhere one day. Yeah, like there's it's crazy things. Like I was saying, trauma, stress, depression, drugs, like people can just snap. And
But do I think it's right? No, I get the whole argument of violent movies lead to violent actions. Sure, you could probably, you know, connect those dots. But yeah, it's if you're sat in a room your entire life, you know, you only ever watch violent films. Yeah, maybe that's going to have some effect on you. But like, I don't think it's going to lead you to only ever want, because that's not how humans work.
That's what Quentin Tarantino said one time when he was being asked about his violence in films. Yeah. He's like, I've never watched a movie and didn't realize I was watching a movie.
Right.
He's like, none of this, I don't feel like I'm being told to do something.
There
or
would
influenced
have to be
to
that disconnect
yeah.
with
like,
the
it's
person
like you're,
watching.
It's like you're trying to say that these movies just hypnotize people into
right.
just doing wild shit.
And listen,
like,
they're not the CIA. Oh, snap.
Good one.
Yeah, I made a
Edward
funny...
Nygma in Batman Forever. Remember when he hacked everybody's his TVs? Oh my God, that was so bad.
Did he do that in the comics?
I don't know, bro.
You're the comic guy.
You know how many comics there are?
No.
And how
five?
Yeah, just about. And I can't find the time to read all five of them. Front and back? No way.
Ooh, right. Mm. Both sides, I forgot. The books I read are only pop-up books.
Hey, man, those are good.
Yeah.
It's an event.
God.
Anyway, I have written here, the Martin Scorsese scene unsettled me a little.
Which one is that?
When he's in the back seat and he makes him drive to where his wife's cheating on.
Oh yeah.
So yeah, that's Scorsese.
Mm-hmm. A young Scorsese, yeah.
Yeah, he's like, you know who lives there? He's like, of course you don't know who lives there. He said, do you want to know who lives there? He said, the N-word. He said, an N-word lives there. And I'm like, why does that even need to be a thing? Like, I'm supposed to feel sorry for this guy that's in the back of a lunatic's cab. Who's salty about his wife cheating on him, and he goes to spy on her, and he calls the dude the N-word.
Yeah, it doesn't ever.
I'm like, I don't feel fucking bad for this guy. He seems like an asshole. So yeah, I don't give a fuck that his wife is cheating on him.
Yeah, and see, I guess there you could make the argument of like, well, people will make the argument. It's like, well, why is that different from Tarantino using the N-word? But he doesn't just have two white guys going in a taxi saying it. Samuel Jackson might say it.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Yeah, and I was just in it. Another thing is, I was like, maybe it's just me, but it seems like all the black people are portrayed in one specific way in this movie. I don't know if you noticed, but all the black extras are either irate, harassing somebody, or just running amok.
Interesting.
And like the dude who's robbing the store was a black guy that he shot, and then the shop owner just beat him to, he's already dead. So he's just beating him with the crowbar. I'm like, all right, quick, cool. And then when he first meets Iris on the street, it was the first time? Regardless, when Iris is walking on the street.
And she gets into the back.
Yeah, and there's this black guy just running down the street screaming he's going to kill somebody and blah, blah, blah. I was like, I don't know. It made me think, but by that time, I couldn't think back to earlier scenes in the movie where there were also black people and how they were behaving and everything like that.
Yeah.
But I was just like, it was just something that caught my attention.
Yeah, the problem is like, someone's going to say, well, that's how it was in the 70s. Well, no, it wasn't. I mean,
that's what people want you to think. Like, it was just chaos.
and just black people doing it. Yeah, you'd never see a white person doing that. But
I mean,
like,
I don't know what side of town they were on, so maybe there were more black people in town. So that means that,
I guess. But that's like, what but you see, shouldn't have to defend it.
So
for
it was just something now. It made my eyebrow raise. Yeah. So I was like, is this me? Am I reaching? Or, but anyway.
No, I mean, I think if you're if you thought that, you're not the only one. Though. That's the thing.
I read something and they were talking about just Scorsese and the types of movies he makes, and how, like, in all of his movies, how he depicts the female lead and black people.
Yeah, he's very old fashioned.
And the female lead is literally just there to have sex and swoon with the male lead. Like, that's literally it.
I mean, yeah. Look at what was the movie with Daniel Day-Lewis?
Gangs of New York.
Yeah, Gangs of New York. Yeah, for sure.
Cameron Diaz.
Yeah, that's all her character is. I mean, they try to give her a little bit, but
yeah, it's this love triangle thing.
Yeah,
and that's it.
That's all she's good for.
Yeah, and like it's like that over and over. Even in The Departed, with
I've only seen that once, so I don't.
Farrah Vermiga. She's his therapist. I mean, he ends up sleeping with her, of course. Plot twist. I mean, he didn't write that, but I don't know. In the end of the day, those are his movies.
Yeah, he chooses to direct those types of films.
I don't know. But don't get me wrong, Scorsese's on my top five.
Yeah,
he makes great films.
He's a fantastic director. But yeah,
this film is definitely it's just dated in some areas. And I don't know, it's a technical thing that really bothered me just because of where it's from. How the audio
is very bad.
Yeah, it's horrible.
Yeah, but that's the 70s though. So I mean, you can't really.
That's what made me look up the budget for this film.
Yeah, it's very bad. But like, that's like a Star Wars, the first Star Wars. Like, we just watched that the other day. It doesn't sound great.
Is that why George Lucas has remastered it 100 times?
100,000 times? No, but I just want to get the audio right. McClunky.
It's just not hitting.
No, I mean, like, yeah, you can't fault a movie for that just because technology didn't advance with it. I'm not saying you are, but like, but
I understood the problem.
Yeah,
it was just a problem for me.
Right, because
I had to turn it down.
Yeah, we're so used to, because the audio isn't equalized.
The ambient noise was so, I don't know. It was
I mean, I don't really think they had, I don't know. I don't know when the first, you know, use
even
of
the
music, law was.
Like, the music felt like it was peaking sometimes. Mm-hmm. It was like very loud.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Yeah, nothing's equalized. I mean, so like the trick of what they used to do before they had LAVs is they would either just use a boom and boom everything. Or this is like really old stuff. When they used to just shoot solely on sound stages for the most part, they would have microphones just hidden around the sets. Mm-hmm. So like, if you ever saw two characters talking really close to a plant, well, there was a mic in there so they could pick up what the two characters were saying.
We just did that recently for a shoot. The four of us were at a table. There's like a plant thing in the middle.
I mean, it's still
used.
The
mic was fed up through the bottom of the table.
Yeah.
And it's like in the flower.
It's still used for, like, when we were shooting our film, like, Sam, who's our sound engineer, he had lofts. He had like six mics running in the car. But they were hidden up above the visors because it was a car scene. So the actors didn't really need to have them on them because they're in such an enclosed space. I think he had them below him. So he had them everywhere so he could capture the real, like, sound that was coming. So, but yeah, the audio is a sign of the times for sure.
So by the end of this movie, our lead character has successfully killed four people,
because
the guy in the corner store and the three dudes on the street, because the dude that was with her, the pimp, and then the dude that was checking the doors when he blew his hand off.
Yeah.
And the dude said, "I'm going to kill you, son of a bitch." He said that at least 16
100
times.
I'm
going to kill you, son of a bitch.
But that's it. That's all he said.
"You son of a bitch.
Not,
you
blew my fucking
you.
Hand
I'm
off.
Kill you.
Holy shit,
you
my
son
fingers.
Of a bitch." And I'm like, "Oh my God. Please kill this man." And then he stabbed him in the same hand and he blew off his fingers. The dude was like, "Ah."
Overkill.
And I'm like, "Oh my God." Anyway, so by the end of the film, he's killed four people and got away with it pretty much. Well, no, he did get away with it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the girl jumps into his cab, and he gets the girl in the end somehow.
I guess.
Does he deserve to win? This is a win. Because he's talking about how he's so fucking lonely.
And he survives getting shot in the neck.
I don't want this to come off as like I'm mocking the issue that's conflicting him. I'm just mocking like his like process. The character of what's his name? Fucking Robert De Niro. I don't know the character's name. But I don't know, like he's
the taxi
like just
driver.
The film. He's so lonely and he's unhinged because he's not sleeping. Because he's lonely.
Yeah, but you can't say everything just because, yeah, you're not sleeping. Like, I don't sleep sometimes, but that doesn't mean I'm going to go and chop someone's head off.
Well, that's because...
I already did.
You haven't hit that threshold yet.
You're right.
Because no sleep will make you lose your fucking mind. But, like, I mean, but we do see him sleep sometimes.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It's just... I don't know. By the end of the movie, I just felt like he had the girl and then he drives off into the sunset or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like... He's a murderer. Like he's like this dude's not like he's a murderer. Okay. Yeah. What happens if they break up? He's gonna kill her probably.
Yeah. Yeah. You're saying is it a win? I guess it depends on how you look at it. I mean, he killed 4 people. He has to think about that the rest of his life.
You think he gives a fuck about that?
Yeah. I don't know.
I don't think he does at all. I mean, look what he did when the cops came in, when they found him there covered in blood, and he did the whole bang bang thing. Mm-hmm.
Classic scene.
You know what that reminds me? Whoa, you know what scene reminds me of that? When the Joker takes the blood and he makes a smile on his face. I don't know why, but I was just like,
oh, interesting.
I was like,
interesting.
I feel I sense a disturbance.
Again, like,
oh, look, it's a beagle. It looks like Obi.
What's out that window?
It looks like my dog.
Your dog's a mastiff, right?
Yes. Actually, it's a direwolf.
A direwolf. That's a Game of Thrones reference. I know that.
Yes. There are no direwolves south of the wall. Now there are 6.
What's his end game? Like challenging the Secret Service like that?
Yeah, I don't know either. That was weird too. Weird. I guess he wanted to see what the dude's security was like. Because, I mean, dude was pretty laid back just having a conversation with him. He really kind of wasn't paying attention to what was going on. So
yeah, the Secret Service is not like the Secret Service now.
But
they'll thwart something before it even fucking gets off the ground.
Look at that guy over there eating that popsicle.
Take him out.
He's looked at me twice. Take him out.
Cap him.
Copy, cap him. The two dudes just pick up his body and drag him away.
Where are we going with this?
I don't know.
It's a good film. It's definitely worth a watch because it is a classic. If you're interested in filmmaking and cinema whatsoever, you should check it out because it is Scorsese and it's one of his earliest films. Has it aged well? No, but you could also say the same about The Wizard of Oz.
Most of the movies ever made.
Right.
Back in the day.
Fuck. Take a look at a movie 10 years ago.
Is fucked.
Take a look at Knocked Up and tell me if that's aged well.
I haven't seen that movie so long.
Probably hasn't aged that well. There was a rough patch in 2005 to like 2009 of just films that at the time were hilarious. People loved them. But now,
makes me a little bit uncomfortable.
Yeah. Like when they, oh God, yeah.
I wouldn't tell my mom that joke.
Yeah, I don't want to. Anyways.
Yeah, check it out. Yeah. It's on Netflix.
Only until the end of this month though. So
you better get it while it's hot.
If you have Netflix. If you don't...
just use someone else's.
Or I guess you could rent it, too.
Nah.
Like YouTube. Or go buy it. I'm sure you can find a copy at a local place on Blu-ray for like $4.
Yeah, I'm sure you can find it on iTunes.
Oh, no doubt, yeah.
But yeah, watch list. You watch anything?
That's the review of the film.
Yeah, flip the film.
I give it a 9 out of 10 because it is fun. It's pretty classic, good. Yeah.
Check it out.
It's all its shortcomings. Watch list, what have I watched? My fingers are tapping on the desk. I don't know if you can hear that. What did we watch?
It's a nice shirt.
Oh, thank you. It's a Star Horse shirt.
A Star Horse?
Yeah. So my niece and nephew came and stayed over. We watched Abominable. Very cute little Pixar film. Is it Pixar? No, it's DreamWorks. No, you're thinking of...
Missing Link?
I think so. That or Littlefoot? Because there was one...
Yeah, one of those.
Yeah, I don't remember.
You ever seen Flushed Away? That's another one that he's on.
Flushed Away?
He's like a house mouse that accidentally gets flushed down the toilet. And he gets lost in the sewer. I think it's a DreamWorks movie.
Never heard of that. It's crazy. In my life.
It's like Ian McKellen's the bad guy. He plays like this big-ass frog.
Is it one of your favorite films? Or
not? It's crazy you ask that. No. But
I've been watching that in How I Met Your Mother.
Mm.
It's a classic. I mean, it's a good sitcom. You know, Phil Lloyd and Chris Miller. No, is that what their name is? The guy who did Into the Spider-Verse?
Lloyd and Miller. I only know their last names.
Yeah. Anyways, they were executive producers on that show for the first season.
Really?
Yes. They're fantastic.
The guy that plays Ted Mosby, he's from Bexley, Ohio. Yeah. Right around the corner from, yeah. Well, from me.
Josh Randor, I think. But he hasn't really done anything.
He's in that new show with Al Pacino and Logan Lerman. That
oh, yeah.
Hunters. That Hunters show.
He is in that.
Hunting down Nazis. Nazis.
That's a fantastic show.
How I Met Your Mother didn't end well for me.
See,
it ended and it kind of felt like the whole show was like pointless at this point. Like,
all right.
Like, spoilers.
Right. Full spoilers. Spoilers. How long has the show been off the air for?
Yeah,
a long time. A while. The ending. So the whole show is
it's
about.
Like a slap in the face.
I can see why you would say that. So the whole show is about, you know, Bob Saget, who is Ted's character somehow, telling his kids how he met their mother. He's like, oh, start from the very beginning.
This is, bro, do their clothes ever change in the beginning?
No, yes.
So this is a story that took days to tell in the context of the conversation.
You got to think maybe he compressed it down into a couple hours.
Yeah, I'm quite sure.
But like, so those kids, they actually knew the whole ending of the show years in advance. Mm-hmm. But anyways, so... You know, throughout the season, the show, he's like in love with this girl that's one of the main characters, Kobe Smulders. Smulders? Yeah. Robin. And they break up. They're Ross and Rachel.
That's what it's all about. What's her name? What? Sparkles?
Robin Sparkles.
Robin Sparkles. Yeah.
That's good. Yeah. Anyway. There's some funny fucking moments in that. Yeah. But anyways, so like, it's not until the last season that you find out like, oh, well, it's, you know, it's really not Robin who the mother is, who people were thinking. It's this other girl. But I think it's so poetic. Like, it makes so much fucking sense. Because the show really isn't about how... That's the irony in the
it's
title.
Not about it's how not about your mother. It's about how I'm in love with your Aunt Robin.
Yes. Because the mother dies. And, like, of course she has to die, and you know, for them to be together. And, like, it sucks.
I don't know if I tell my kids this story, though. Especially when they're that young. Like, they're fucking teenagers.
Yeah, they're probably teenagers,
yeah. Yeah, and he's like, yeah, man. How'd you meet mom?
Now
Robin. Like, that's literally the whole
story. Smoking hot aunt.
Yeah, your aunt that comes over every fucking Wednesday
night. What a fine
night
piece of that.
To help me crunch the numbers.
Is that why you go up to the bedroom and lock the door for 20 minutes?
Yeah, you know, math is hard for me.
No, I mean, the thing that's so surprising about that show is, yeah, the ending where they're just like, go for it.
Fuck
go
that.
For it, man.
I'd be like, Dad, bro, what? Like, you could have waited till I was at least 30 to tell me this story. I need to have my heart broken at least twice.
They need to understand, yeah.
Yeah, but anyway, that's
it's
just
a good,
that's personally.
It's a good show. Yeah, the last, I mean, you could say it about
It's got some
about
good
everything.
Laughs in there, though,
it's got
sure.
some fantastically, like, beautiful stuff sometimes. Like, really good.
MPH.
What's MPH?
Neil Patrick Harris.
Oh, NPH.
Oh, what did I say?
No, I didn't know.
Oh, okay, never mind.
No, he's great.
Fucking.
I love that he's a womanizer.
Didn't he have
gay.
That stormtrooper?
Yeah.
Or no, it's a clone trooper.
Okay, all right. In the second season, it's a clone trooper. It's from episode 3, and he calls it a stormtrooper. Mm-hmm. Ugh! And then later in like season 5, it changes into a stormtrooper. But oh, come on, how do you mess that up? Yeah. When Ted is supposed to be this biggest Star Wars fan, how do you fuck that up? What have you watched, Chance?
We watched the Oprah interview with Meghan Markle and Prince Harry.
Prince Hurrah?
Yeah, I fell asleep. But this was yesterday.
What a slap in the face to them.
No, I was just...
Yeah, I know.
We had a big dinner and I laid down and people just started talking.
Wait,
and,
yesterday?
Yeah.
But yesterday wasn't Sunday.
It was just, we made turkey burgers. Big as in it filled me up.
Okay.
Yeah, it's delicious. I made homemade wedges.
Potato or broccoli?
No, asparagus.
Oh, asparagus. Interesting how we both made something green.
Wow. Great minds.
Yeah, we're such losers.
But yeah, I don't know. That interview was wild. Have you been seeing stuff about that?
I have seen a little bit about it. I haven't watched the interview, mainly just because, like, who the fuck cares?
You seen Piers Morgan? He left the
Yeah, I don't care.
Yeah, he was
either.
Outraged because he says that they're just lying.
I don't know. I mean...
Yeah, apparently conversations were had. Their son, Archie. Conversations were had about how he won't be a prince and he won't get the royal protection and all this other kind of stuff. And
that's up to them to make that decision.
But why him and not, what's his name's kid? I don't know. The other brother that got married.
Charles.
Yeah.
Well, he's staying with the family, isn't he?
That's why they left, though, because they were getting all this stuff stripped away.
Hmm.
And conversations were had with Harry. And they're like, are you concerned about how dark your son's skin is going to be?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
See, like, that's also why I don't care.
And then, like, Piers Morgan was saying, like, he was like, having that conversation is not racist. He's like, the way it's executed, the way it's had. I'm like, why are you asking me?
Why bring it
like,
up? Yeah.
Yeah. And like, people are like, that doesn't necessarily inherit racism. And they're like, I know, like, mixed race couples where they're like, how dark they're going to be. I'm like, saying I wonder and saying, are you concerned?
Right.
Are two different things.
Concern is already implying like a negative
thing. That it's a bad
thing.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm like, who the fuck asks that?
And also it's totally different for parents to wonder that stuff rather than
the people who
a stranger.
Pay you, the family who pays you because right. They're this huge monarchy. I don't know. But she said that the queen was always cool to her. The queen was never.
I have heard Queen Elizabeth is supposed to be a pretty downer. I mean, she's fucking 90 years old.
Yeah, they said the queen's cool. She said the queen's cool. And somebody else. William?
Her husband.
Harry's her husband.
No, Harry is.
You sure?
Maybe Charles. No, it's Prince Philip. He's her husband.
Nah, no way.
Harry is the one who just had the interview.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Mary mm-hmm. Markle's husband.
Oh, I thought you said the queen's husband.
No, well, yeah. That's William, right?
No, that's Philip.
Okay, Philip. I don't know, man.
I think.
This isn't my fucking country.
There's too many, yeah. I mean, they are the most powerful family in the entire world.
Whatever.
Are you looking it up?
Yeah, it's Philip.
It is Philip? Okay, yeah.
I think it was him. Like, because she didn't give any names, but people were like, when you single out blah, 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 when you single out A and B, and you get C, and I guess Philip is C.
Hmm.
Or maybe I'm getting that wrong backwards. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Regardless, there's some racists in the royal family. And then Piers Morgan is like, how dare she? So he's like, now this interview's got the Americans thinking that there's someone racist, like the royal family is racist and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, we're not saying the entire royal family is racist, but we're saying there are definitely some racists in the royal family. Just like how, you know, not everyone in politics is racist here, but there's definitely some...
Absolutely.
Bigots.
Absolutely.
But it just amazes me that
you shouldn't
people,
be afraid to call out your
still,
racists.
People are still shocked. And, like, they get so shocked and appalled. Like, I'm against racism, but there's no way I could even fathom that it could be involved in something that I support and like.
Right.
So you're lying or you're reaching. And mm-hmm. I'm just like, all right, bro, whatever.
Politics is crazy, man.
Yeah, I don't know.
You ever seen the meme where she's like, the queen is like, they took a picture of her and she's looking a little bummed out, but she's at a meeting with like, maybe at the UN or something, and she, and the caption reads, look at all these countries I used to own. Oh, it's so true. So fucking true.
So, yeah, man.
I haven't watched that interview yet. I might not. I don't know.
It's quite interesting. I fell asleep, but like I fell asleep before Harry came out.
I mean, I'm sure it's interesting. I just don't. The whole reason I'm like not watching it is because like there's a lot of look, you know, and the media isn't great. I'm not saying the media is terrible, but sometimes the tabloids, they always focus on the most negative thing, and that's just like, what the fuck? Like, why don't you just leave the people alone? Just so it's like, oh, why give them? I don't know.
Yeah. I don't blame Harry for getting the fuck out of there, though. I mean, you saw what they did to his mom.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, ugh.
I don't blame him.
I do think you should develop your own opinions, though. Watch the interview. Yes. Come to your own conclusions.
Yes.
You know, with throughout the life, your life. That's what mm-hmm. you should always do.
Except for when it comes to movies. You only listen right. to us.
Only listen to us, yeah.
Correct.
So we All right. know what we're talking about.
What's the goddamn show?
Oh, I didn't have a joke prepared.
It's too late.
Oh, no, we.
Yeah, sorry, guys.
You pulled the microphone away. Wait, I'm not done talking, Chance. You didn't say goodbye. Chance, get back here.
I can't hear you. I'm leaving.
I'm still picking you up.
Can you pick me up?
I think so, yeah.
Wow. Okay, bye. Why do I need a mic for your joke?
No, you don't. Well, you've got to capture your hysterical laughter.
Okay.
Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
All right. There is a pirate ship. two birds are sitting on the captain's shoulders, right?
He's got a bird on each shoulder?
He's got one bird on each shoulder.
He's big time.
Yeah. One bird looks over and says, "Hey, how's your day going?" Mm. He says, "It's all right. You know, it's fine. I saw some dolphins." Mm. And then the other bird says, "Oh, really? I'm just making this up."
Oh, my God. You fucking set up. Oh, I'm like, I was thinking like.
And then one bird flew away. That was.
I was like, you got to keep listening, man. I was about to check out. I'm like, no. Because it seemed to be like you were trying to remember the joke. And I was like, oh, man, this is
going to be like
last week when he just started all over from the beginning.
I did. That's right. I forgot about that.
Oh, my God. All right, guys.
Thanks for listening.
Thanks.
Check us out on social media. Tell your friends.
Goodbye.